The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Well, good morning. It's awesome to see each of you here today. And as I was thinking about what we get to do and the privilege we have today to come together, that video just kind of stood out to me. It reminded me of a couple things. Man, I love y'all. This is neat, what we are a part of. And David and I were talking this morning. This fellowship, this church family is so unique and wonderful. Man, and this is a neat time. We get to come together on Sunday mornings, and we get to kind of refocus. Anybody have, Andy and I were talking earlier, it used to be that Labor Day was like fun. You got Monday off of work, and like things were great, and it was wonderful, and it was a nice break. And then I realized on Tuesday, oh man, all the work I was supposed to do on Monday, I now have to do on Tuesday. And so it wasn't really a break anymore, and it wasn't as relaxing, because as soon as I got back to work, everything was there waiting for me. And in the busyness and the craziness of things, it's nice to have this moment. Just, I don't know what your week was like, but some of the things they said in there, a time just to come together, to refocus, to refresh, to be encouraged. And my prayer is for all of us today that that's what today would be. That this time in here would just be a time to reflect, to refocus, just to kind of get our bearings about us as we go out and we get ready to take on another week of doing what God has called us to do. In the process of that, I don't know if I'm about to tell some probably terrible stories about me, but there was one time I had a friend. He lived in Huntsville, Alabama. I lived in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I went down to see my friend. We hung out and everything like that. And I forgot I have to go to work the next day. And so I'm sitting there and we were watching college football. And I realized I had to get up and go to work the next day. And so I left. And it's about an hour and a half drive, I think. Maybe 2 hour drive. And all of a sudden I started driving late at night. And next thing I know, I'm in the middle of downtown Chattanooga, and I have no clue how I got there. I must have fallen asleep at some point in time driving, and next thing I know, I'm in the middle of, like, six-lane interstate, cars all around me, and I'm like, oh, I probably should wake up and realize, and I'm like looking around to find out where I am, how far down the road I've been. Please tell me I'm not the only person who's ever had that happen to them. All right, a couple, some of y'all are being honest this morning. Thank you, yeah. And so that kind of leads me to the idea we're going to talk about this morning is looking in our rear view to find out how you get where you're at. And there are times in life, I think there are times in my life, there are times, at least for me, and I think probably for you too, where all of a sudden you realize you're in something, you're at a point, you're in a decision, you're in circumstances, and you have no clue how you got there. And the only thing you can do is look in your rear view and look back and think back and say, okay, God, okay, life, how did I get to this point? Chelsea was talking the other day, we were going through baby clothes and getting rid of all of our baby clothes because we're not having any more babies. And so we were talking about it, and she's like, you know, there are points where, like, I don't remember when Thomas ever wore these shoes. And I was like, oh, I'm sure he did. And then part of it is just because kids get so many clothes that they couldn't wear them even if they changed outfits 16 times a day. But we all of a sudden, we get to these points and times in life, and there's no recollection of the past couple months or weeks or years. And the only thing we can do is say, how in the world did we get here? And so today we're going to look at that. And there was one verse that I was doing my morning readings and stuff like that. This one verse stood out to me. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says this: the sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever. Now, it's two short verses, but in these two short verses, we find out a lot of information. The first thing that you and I find out from these two short verses is this: there is absolutely no such thing as hidden sin. Y'all ever think there's hidden sin? Y'all don't admit that, but we do, right? We've got those sins that, like, we never say no. Y'all, oh man, we're fixing to have fun this morning. Y'all ever do this? You're walking and all of a sudden, oh man, and you say something, and the very first thing you do is you look around to see if anybody heard you say what you just said, and when nobody's ever looking around, you're like, ha, doesn't count. Nobody heard it. I didn't sin. Right? Or you ever do something, and all of a sudden you look around after you did it, and you're like, did anybody see me do that? Sorry, Andy. I always kind of wanted to steal something. Like, I never did. I don't know if, maybe you guys were, like, as a kid, like, sorry, that's a terrible confession to make, I probably realized. But, like, as a kid, all my friends would be like, oh, man, check out this pack of gum I just stole. And I'm like, I want to steal gum, too, sometimes. But I couldn't do it because I knew my dad would light me up if I ever got caught doing something like that. But, like, I always, like, would watch them when they would do it. I was the lookout, I guess. And so, like, I was the dumb one who was just stood, like, stationed there to be the lookout. And so, like, I would be there, and they were, like, as they were going to do whatever they were doing, their whole time they're, like, looking around to see if anybody's watching them. Like, if nobody's watching you, that doesn't count. That's not true. And while we think it's silly when kids do it, or we think it's silly when we talk about it like that, the reality is a lot of us live our lives with this hidden sin. We think that if nobody sees us do it, if nobody hears us say it, or if nobody knows we thought it, it doesn't really count. But the first thing we have to learn, and the first thing I want us to look at from this scripture is this: our sins will always uncover themselves eventually. The second thing we see about this, and you go, if you go back and you look at that 1 Timothy verse, it talks about there are some sins that are obvious. For some reason, in my fantastical mind, as I picture this, I picture a giant neon sign. So obvious, so blatant, so clear, we know it's wrong before we ever do it. Now again, you guys are all good church-going folks who are here at church on Sunday morning, and there's after an LSU victory last night, and so there's absolutely no way that's you folks at all. But just maybe there are some folks that you know that they run to sin. This morning, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you, don't be someone who runs into sin. In this 1 Timothy passage, it talks about how some of these deeds are so obvious, the judgment and everything about these sins is known before we ever commit it. Now, again, I know this isn't necessarily you, but can you just imagine with me? You see this thing out there, and you know it's wrong, and you know you shouldn't do it, and you know the consequences, you know the results, you know everything that's going to happen if you go down this road, but yet you still do it. Man, this morning, listen, as somebody who's done that before in my life, let me encourage you and challenge you, don't be someone who runs to sin. It becomes so easy to say, well, it's there, and it's obvious, and I know what's going to happen, but I can deal with the consequences. I can deal with the results. I can deal with whatever the case is. And this passage reminds us, listen, don't be one of those people that runs to sin. When you know something's wrong, avoid it. Over in Proverbs chapter 6, Solomon says this. He says, there are seven things which the Lord hates. Or sorry, there are six things which the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. In verse number 18, he says this, a heart that devises wicked schemes and feet that rush quickly to do evil. A false witness that pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. This passage in Proverbs tells us that this mentality is something that God hates. He despises, he finds detestable people who seek out sin. Listen, again, I know I'm the old saying is I'm preaching to the choir. You're here. Man, but just be careful with this. Because it all too easy, it becomes so easy for us. And we don't run into sin. We're better than that, right? But here's what I do. I'll take it on me. I know what the sin is. I see the sin there. I know the consequences. I know the end result. I know where it leads. I know where it goes. I know everything about it. So what do? Walk right up to it. I'm not there yet. I'm not in it yet. I'm just right here. I just want to look at it from the outside and just see what happens with it. It's dangerous, man. Because before long, you're in it and you don't even realize you're in it. When I was in student ministry, we had a skit that we made our kids do sometimes. You ever do skits in student ministry? And it was called the Sin Box. And it was a box of sin that was like, it just had a box and had sin written on it. And the whole skit went like this. As the kid went up, and at first he just kind of dabbled with it. He put his hands in it and he played with it a little bit. And the next thing you know, he put his toe in it and he stepped back out. And before long, he was standing in the box. And then when he went to get out of the box, he couldn't. And it was such a good demonstration of how sin works in our life. This morning, church, let me encourage you. Let me challenge you. Please, please, please do not be a follower of Christ who runs into sin. This morning, maybe you're here and you've been ignoring the signs of sin, the consequences of those sins. Maybe you just need to refocus this morning and recalculate your course. If you're seeing more sin in your trajectory than you are opportunities to glorify God with your life, maybe it's time to reevaluate the course that your life's on, the direction, the trajectory of where you're heading. Another thing that this verse in 1 Timothy tells us is this. Some sins follow you. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24, it says that the sins of others trail behind them. You ever feel followed by your sins? And social media is a terrible thing. Let's say this. Y'all ever get those Facebook notifications and it's like, you said this 7 years ago? Y'all ever read those and think, how stupid was I? Honestly. I had one pop up the other day that said, gangsters don't dance, they just pull up their pants and do the rock away. That was my Facebook status. What does that even mean? I know what it means, but like, why in the world why did I think that the entire world needed to know that? How foolish was that? And it's funny because we're raising a generation in culture that doesn't realize that, man, those things, those statuses, the stuff that you say on social media follows you into your future. I'm thankful at times that I didn't have social media when I was in their age, in high school and middle school. Because, man, some of the stupid stuff I did and the sins would have followed me. But the reality is, if I look in my rear view, I still know those sins are there. Now, here's the dangerous part about this. This is not something that I want to be doom and gloom, but we have to acknowledge and we have to understand that sins are real. Listen, church, I love you too much to get up here and just teach and preach to you about God's love and not tell you the reason that His love is so fantastic is because of this thing called sin that's in our life. Sins are real, and the sins that you and I face are real, and sometimes we see them and they're blatantly obvious in front of us and we can't avoid them, and other times they creep us from behind us in our rear view. Before we know it, this thing that we did years and years and years ago has crept up back into our life, and it's making an impact in our current life. In Scripture, it talks about how the sins of the Father will be carried down through 7 generations. Not trying to scare you, but with whatever sins you're thinking about, you're considering committing, are you willing to let it hurt your kids in the future? We don't think about that, because sin doesn't affect anybody other than me, right? I'm the only person that gets affected by sin, and I can handle everything that happens. And then when there's no consequences, we think we got away with it. And then when we think we got away with it, we keep doing it. And before long, we realize we're down this road, and we've sinned so much in this, and we have never felt the effects. And so we think we're safe, we think our sin is hidden, and the next thing we know, it's not affecting us, but it's affecting our kids. It's affecting our marriage. it's affecting every aspect of our life, and we didn't ever plan on doing that, but sometimes that's the way sin works. It comes from our past to haunt us. Now, I understand the scripture also teaches that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And so my challenge and my encouragement for you this morning is not this. It's not to condemn you or to make you feel guilt or shame about things that you have done. But it's to heighten your awareness to the sins that are out there and realize that while maybe right now you may not see the consequences, you may not feel the effects of it, no sin goes unnoticed. The consequences and the effects of your sin manifest themselves years and years and years later. There was a time in my life, and I committed a sin. I know, hard for y'all to believe, but I did. I committed a sin, and I thought I got away with it. No one knew. I was a sneaky sinner. I mean, nobody had a clue whatsoever at all. And all of a sudden, I was meeting with a pastor friend of mine, and he was talking to me, and he said, "Hey, John," he said, "I have to ask you, did you do this?" Oh, you weren't supposed to know about that. Nobody was supposed to know about that. And so I had to confess, and it cost me a lot of time, and it cost me respect, and it cost me different people's opinions, and man, it hurt me, and it hurt other people, and the effects of that sin just went out like a tidal pool and affected people who I never thought it would affect. What's scary is Kelsey and I were having a conversation several years ago, and that sin came up. And I said, you know, I wonder if some of the, I think we actually just got done having a fight or something like that, which never happens either, by the way. But in the process, I had this realization, part of what we were fighting about started because of that sin that I did before I even knew her, before I even met her. Before I even knew I was going to have kids, man, there are sins that I've committed in my past that will affect my children, and that breaks my heart and terrifies me. And it's not to, I want to terrify you, or I want to scare you, or I want to condemn you this morning, but I want to challenge you, and I want to encourage you, and I want to beg and plead with you, do not take this lightly, because every sin that you and I ever commit will be uncovered at some point in time. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul says it like this: "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh will from the flesh reap destruction." This morning, don't just think because you are experiencing some catastrophe that you should keep on sinning. Somewhere, someone is feeling the results of your sin. Now, there's some good news. Because that verse also tells us something really interesting. It says at the end in verse number 25 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, "In the same way, good deeds are obvious. Even those who are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever." This morning, church, just like there is no such thing as hidden sin, there are no such things as hidden sins, there are no such things as hidden deeds either. Good deeds. Everything that you and I do that's good is seen. Now, that's encouraging. That should be something that is exciting to us. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says this: "You are salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven." This morning, church, just like there's no hidden sin, there are no such things as hidden deeds. What you and I do that is good is also seen. I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you feel like no one sees your efforts in your work and how tirelessly you work for Christ. This morning, I want you to know that somebody does see. People notice what you do. In that scripture, Jesus tells us that there are things that we set on a hill, and I want to encourage you this morning to find these things in other people and point them out in other people. How many of you... Brad, I love you, man. I'm going to pick on my buddy Brad for just a second. Brad and Tom both. We got here Thursday to cook a football meal. I haven't cooked a football meal in a while. I had no clue what I was doing. I was in the midst of that. I was trying to kind of catch up from my Monday that I missed and everything else. And so I was kind of behind the ball. And these guys got in there and they knew what they were doing. And they'd cooked for firemen. So they had everything worked out and planned. They cooked up some delicious, I call it chicken parmesan. I have no clue what they would call it. We did put parmesan cheese in it. So it was actually chicken parmesan. And we get doing that ready. We took it over to the football team, and Pete and Boo took it over there with me, and Eugene, and we got over there, and they said, "What if it's not good? If it's not good, we're going to blame it on Brad and Tom because they're not here right now. So like, they're going to be the one. They cook bad food. If it is good, we're going to take credit for it." And it was good, and so we gave credit to us for it. But no, we have a hard time sometimes taking credit for things we do, don't we? Anybody? You don't like to, you don't like, man, you want to put me in an uncomfortable situation, start complimenting me. I have no clue what to do. I just kind of like go into a shell and I'm like, no, it's the grass that did it. I deflect constantly because I don't like it. So this is my challenge to you, church. Don't stand up and tell other people about the good things you do, but look for the good things that other people do and point it out. You be the one. Listen, if they're not putting their light on a hill, if they're not telling other people and saying, look at these good things I've done for Christ, you be the one that steps in and says, hey, listen, have you seen what Shelly did? Have you seen what Miss Sammy and Mr. Mike do? Have you seen what these people do? How they tirelessly work for Christ? And you be the one who points it out so that other people can glorify God through somebody else's deeds. If you go in and you keep reading, it, not only does it tell us that our deeds are not, there are no such things as hidden deeds. It tells us that those that are not, it says our good deeds are obvious. You say, well, how do you find obvious good deeds? When you continue in that Galatians chapter 6 passage, picking up in verse number 8, it says this, whoever sows from the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are the family of believers. This morning, not only are your good deeds obvious, but there are times where God gives us a clear cut sign of what He wants us to do. And He says, hey, listen, here's your deed. Take advantage of it. How many of you look for opportunities to do something good for somebody? Some of us may stumble into them and it's like, oh, I guess I can do this because it's right here in front of me. And so, all right, God. Others of us have this mentality that look forward to try to seek out opportunities when they can do something for somebody else that can impact them for eternity. Man, we talked about sins, and one of my biggest regrets is that no one ever told me the power that my sin would have when I was in high school. I did things carelessly because no one told me that the things I do make an impact in eternity. The same thing goes for the opposite, though, too. I wish somebody would have told me in high school, hey, listen, the good things you're doing, keep doing it because they can impact somebody's eternity. This morning, church, I wonder how many of us look for opportunities not just to do good so that we can get a pat on the back, not just to do good to take some pressure or stress off of somebody. How many of us look for opportunities to do something good for somebody with the understanding that what we're doing could change where they spend eternity? Man, that makes everything we do super important. Majorly impactful. And so this morning I want to encourage you to look for opportunities to do good for people just because that power that is in there is remarkable. When God gives you the opportunity for someone to do something for someone and it's so obvious that He wants you to do it, Don't question how. Don't come up with reasons not to. Just do it. Side note here, real quick. Oh man, I gotta go. We got some really cool stuff going on in our church. We got some amazing things that God's doing in our fellowship. The next days of Morning Sport Baptist Church are going to be remarkable. There's going to be some things where God says, hey, listen, here's your opportunity. And we can do one of two things. We can sit around and we can discuss it. Like good Baptists, we can form a committee. And that committee can form another committee that forms another committee that talks about the feasibility of this and that and how we should do this. And one committee will tell us we should do this, and another committee will tell us that we should do this way. And then all the committees will get together and decide, well, maybe we should just sit and wait on it for 5 minutes. Church, I'm going to beg with you and I'm going to plead with you. When God gives us these opportunities that are coming up in the future, let's take them. Let's not sit back and wait. Let's take them. Because God's given us an opportunity to do remarkable things in our community. Sam and I were talking the other day. Roughly 80% of our church membership is outside Mooring Sport community. Two things that means. Brother Rocky's doing something right, and church is doing something right. Because people are coming from outside of our village to come to church here. We got people who are passing 5, 6, 7, 8 churches to come worship here. That means y'all are doing something right. Second thing that means, though, is this, is that now we've got the bodies and we've got the mission field. What are we going to do with it? It's easy to sit back in here and talk about how we can reach them, what we can do, what will work, what won't work, how this might do, this might not do, but the encouragement that I want to give you this morning is God has planted you here with a mission field all around us. Let's go. Let's do it. The second thing that this tells us also is this, is just to take advantage of the moments that are unseen. And going back to 1 Timothy, he tells you that even those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever. This morning, maybe you're here and you're discouraged because no one sees your good deeds. No one sees the work, the effort, the time that you put in, and you kind of feel unnoticed this morning. Very first job I ever had, actually paid job I ever had working for a church, was I was a church janitor. Used to get so mad cleaning toilets. And I was scrubbing toilets for people, and I'd go to church with these people on Sunday morning, and then I'd go in and I'd clean up after them on Sunday night and get so mad. I'd be like, God, nobody sees what I'm doing for you. You know what God taught me during that season of my life? Matthew chapter 6, verse number 4. So that your giving may be in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Man, those moments were blessings. Those moments were remarkable. I can't tell you how many times I've come up here and thought, man, I wish nobody knew what I was doing. I wish I could do something and not have people say, oh, did you see this? Did you see that? See what Brother John did? I know that sounds weird, but man, that moment when no one sees what you do is one of the purest, most genuine acts of love you can ever give back to your Lord and Savior. Kelsey looks beautiful this morning, doesn't she? Always. She does so much good stuff. Man, I really just love Kelsey so much. It's great when I do it here, right? Because you guys all see it and you say, oh, John's so sweet. Did you see what he said about his wife? How adorable are they? And you guys freak out more than when Travis Kelce and whoever got engaged. And you get all stirred up about it. But if I never tell her that at home, if I only do it for your attention and never for our relationship, is that good? Listen, if the only time that you want to serve is when everyone sees you, you're missing those intimate moments where you get to serve and no one gets to see it except for God. And He gets to look at your sacrifice. He gets to look at your gift. He looks to give it. He gets to look at what you do, and He gets to smile and say, "That's my boy. That's my child. They're doing this because they love me, not for any other reason, but because they love me." Church, this morning, take advantage of those moments when no one sees what you do. That's a gift from God that He's given for you to tell Him how much you love Him. This morning, I hope that as we've looked at the Scripture and as we've looked at these different things, it's been a refreshing moment. It's been a reminding moment. And my prayer for you this morning is this. You leave here encouraged. Listen, some of you may need to be encouraged to knock it off. In the most loving way I can say that, knock it off. You're toying with sins. You're tiptoeing that line. You're making decisions for right now, not 5 years from now. As lovingly as I can say it, man, stop. God loves you too much to let you keep walking down that road. Some of you this morning may need to hear that God's got good work for us. Don't knock it off. Keep going. Keep going. When it's seen, keep going. When it's not seen, keep going. Father, this morning we love you. I thank you for today. God, I thank you for the time that we got to spend in your word this morning. Lord, I pray that it would be beneficial to our hearts, it would be beneficial to our minds. God, I pray that you would use your word this morning to encourage us to walk closer and deeper with you this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you do for us. God, during this time of worship and response, if there are things in our lives that, Lord, we need to repent from, we need to stop, we need to turn away from, God, I pray that you would just use this time and this moment to help us come back to you. Father, if there are things that we need to do, Lord, I pray that you would give us the boldness to seize those opportunities, to look for those opportunities, and Lord, to keep going with what we know we need to do. You would use this time just to encourage us and strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.